The Marion Finucane Show on RTE Radio 1 with Hyundai. Now offering 5 years free servicing on every new 142 Hyundai. Ireland's fastest growing car brand.
Welcome back to the programme. Now, with the winter approaching and the rain supposedly coming down anyway for a lot of this week, not many people would volunteer perhaps to sleep outside. And joining me now is Reverend Dermot Dunn, the Dean of Christchurch Cathedral. And you've just come back from a night out at Ivy Gardens. You didn't get the rain we were promised. First of all, you're very welcome.
Thank you very much, Marion.
Were you a worried man when you saw the...
We started off at 7 o'clock. We were called together at 7 p.m. and it was lashing rain at that stage and the wind was howling. And I said, oh, what have I let myself in for? But then as the hours went on, the rain just went to a mist and then eventually it went to a clear sky at around 12 and someone was praying for us.
And tell me, were you just in a sleeping bag? Sure, that would have been sodden.
No, the Belvedere boys would do this quite a lot.
Yeah.
From Belvedere College. They provided bags that you could put your sleeping bag in.
Right.
And a plastic sheet to put cardboard down on. So it wasn't too bad.
Right. Explain the rationale.
Okay. Focus Ireland Shine a Light Tonight is aimed towards corporate companies, really, to highlight the plight of homelessness in Ireland. 40 families per month, up to 50 families per month, are made homeless. And so far this year, 600 children have been made homeless.
Right. And you want to focus...
I want to highlight that.
Okay, let me talk a bit about yourself first, because you have a very unusual background. You were a Roman Catholic priest.
Yes.
You then became not a Roman Catholic priest.
That's right.
And now you are an Anglican priest.
That's right, yes.
Very unusual. I remember when women priests came into the Anglican communion, it went the other way, and the Anglican priests that didn't approve of that became Catholic priests, which seemed odd enough to me. But anyway, how did that all come about?
Well, it's a long story.
I can imagine.
And it's a personal story. It's about a personal spiritual story, because many have followed my footsteps as well, and many before me as well. And it's untold stories by the church, by the Anglican church. They don't triumph it or trumpet it about.
Yeah.
I was ordained for the Diocese of Cloyne in Cork, and my first parish was a northeastern village, west county village in Cork. And I was there for 6 years. And during that time, as a young priest, I was only 25 when I started, I would hear people's stories in confession. It was a very privileged area to be in.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd hear the stories of people being burdened by the church, really, and its church law, especially in areas of marriage and family life and contraception, and how that was really labouring people, people with large families, not being able to afford another child,
yeah,
and feeling the weight of that law. And all the time, as I thought through this, I thought, I cannot preach what I don't believe in, and I still don't believe in any laws on against artificial contraception. Also, at the time, I was reflecting on the place of women in the church and their lack of leadership and authority in the church. That was a big issue for me as well. I felt the dogma of the church was stagnant and I was moving beyond it. And then in 1990, 6 years after I was ordained, I was given the opportunity to travel to London to become part of the immigrant chaplaincy.
Right.
And there I was appointed as a hospital chaplain to a large Irish teaching hospital in Highgate in London. And on my communion rounds, I'd offer Holy Communion to people, and especially women, and they'd say, I'm sorry, I can't take it. And I'd say, why? And they'd say, I'm divorced and remarried. And I would say to them, because not everyone knows this, the law between the internal and external forum in the church.
Yeah.
I'd say, do you believe in your heart and soul that you've done wrong? And they'd say no. Well, I would say to them, well, do you know that you're actually doing wrong by not going with your conscience? And okay, it was confusing, but they could see the point that if they saw themselves right in the eyes of God, nothing, no church law. And this is the church's teaching.
Well, you sound like you've written the agenda for Pope Francis at the moment.
I think it's wonderful. It's so opportune. I do believe in providence. And I think it's great that a Jesuit Pope has come into the papacy. Right. Because I think he's going to address these issues.
So on those grounds, you decided you couldn't stay.
Yes. Yeah, I felt I couldn't, to be really honest with myself and with the church, I couldn't stay in a church that held on to those laws that I didn't believe in.
And so what's the next step? You went to Bishop McGee, wasn't it? Was your bishop?
Yes, he was my bishop at the time.
I'd say you got a great reception there.
He was very okay, he was very fair. He could understand. And I also, I have to admit, part of that as well was the celibacy law as well, that I didn't believe at the time, I still don't, that celibacy and ordination are intertwined. They're two separate vocations. I have a lot of friends who have vocation to celibacy and live it very well. Mm. But I know a lot of priests and a lot of people that came out of the church who made wonderful priests, but who couldn't take on the vow of celibacy, yeah, or the vocation to celibacy. But he received me well. He could understand. And I just said goodbye. And I moved out. I was in a parish in London at the time, and I moved out to a council flat in London,
right,
and got a job with the Environment Council. And then I got a job with a homeless charity as a development officer. And homelessness was always, the plight of the homeless was always close to my heart. And I felt really challenged by being part of this charity.
Right. And then you met your wife. And then what made you go back to being a priest, but this time in the Anglican Communion?
Well, I was working. I was working for the homeless charity, and I also trained as a psychotherapist because that's where I met my wife. And I always felt there was something missing in my life, that I missed ministry, that I missed that my calling was to be with people and to minister to people in a faithful way. And I reflected on this, and it took me 4 years to come to the point, and it was my brother, actually, who said, why don't you become an Anglican priest? And I was putting up all the obstacles why I couldn't be. And we came back to Ireland, Celia and myself, and I decided to go and meet the Archbishop of Dublin, the then Archbishop of Dublin, who was Walton MP, a wonderful, wonderful man, who embraced me with open arms. 2 hours of chatting together about life and about where I'm coming from. All the barriers that I had put up, he just scotched one by one and said, there's nothing stopping you going for ministry within the church and the Church of Ireland.
And had you been laicized by the Roman Catholic Church?
Now, there's another story. I wasn't laicized at the time, but it's interesting that when I became Dean of Christ Church, I was forced laicized. I got a letter from the Curia in Rome, and because I had become Dean of Christ Church, I was officially laicized from priesthood within the church.
Why, I wonder?
This process was initiated by Bishop McGee and the then Papal Nuncio. And I think it's maybe because being Dean of Christ Church is quite a public profile.
Yes, it is.
Whereas being a minister in the country is not such a high profile. So they could overlook that. But the fact that a former Roman Catholic priest became Dean of Christ Church Cathedral, I think was quite annoying in a way.
But I thought the rules were that once you took the vows and so on, once a priest, always a priest.
Well, a priest forever, a priest like Melchizedek of old. That's the biblical reference to it. I believe that. And I believe laicization means, it's like a marriage annulment. It means that your original ordination was invalid. I could never say my original ordination in 1984 was invalid. I was validly ordained. And when you receive the Holy Spirit, it can't be taken away again.
You have a glint in your eye as you say these things so clearly. Once you figure you're on the right track with the man upstairs and yourself.
We see that you're making a very important point here, because I think when church becomes an end in itself, it ceases to be functional and to do what it's called to do. The church is a vehicle for people's own spiritual journey. It provides a framework for a person's spiritual path. And each one of us have our own individual spiritual path. And that's, I can see, when I moved into the Anglican Church, it wasn't a transition, it wasn't a break, it was a movement of my spiritual path. So yes.
Another day I must talk to you about transubstantiation and such complex things, but we'll have to leave it there. Anyway, the reason that you were doing all this is you are raising money, so you're slightly begging, and also you want to raise the attention of homelessness and this campaign by Focus.
Absolutely, yeah. Because there's so much homelessness in Dublin and in Ireland. And also, a colleague said to me not too long ago, in a civilized society, the sign of a civilized society is its care for its weakest members. And I think we're failing, and therefore we're failing as a civilized society.
Okay. Reverend Dermot Don, Dean of Christchurch, thank you very much indeed for talking to me.
Podcast The Marion Finucane Show at rte.ie/radio.